But when I have the opportunity to speak with you and spend time one evening with the youth, I got to tell you, though, nothing stokes me more. So you have to know what a great honor it is, not just for me to talk with you and to speak and share some things, but just to be with you. It really is a tremendous honor. So I want to just, you know, if you will, we already appreciated the worship team, and they were really good tonight, especially these young people. But how about just giving up for Pastor Travis and Brittany, though, for just doing this and just, you know, putting this together so that I could be with you. Can we just thank them? Yeah, good. Really good. Beautiful. They're going to help me up here. 2 Samuel chapter 6, I want to read a few verses out of this historical place in our amazing Bible. You know, I spent a lot of time on university campuses around the world, and in so many different places. I get the great opportunity and privilege to speak to junior high students, elementary school students, university students, adults, churches, all these things. And every college campus I get on, they will debate with me, and college professors will come out and try to convince me that this book is irrelevant. I want you to know tonight that this is the most relevant book there is, our Bible. I want to take us to a historical place tonight, into a moment of time. I want to talk about a young man in just a few minutes. He is going to declare something over his generation that I'm going to declare over us tonight, and I believe this about your generation. I'll be 59 this year, and I have a granddaughter who is no longer a teenager. She is 25. And so I have 5 grandchildren that are still teenagers. One is graduating this year. He is 18 years old. So I have a tremendous love and passion for your generation before I ever had grandchildren or children. And so you got to know that the Lord our God, He is more stoked. He has more passion. He has more hope, more dream for your generation than this world even knows. More than your fathers, mothers, more than your grandparents, more than your teachers. He is the one who has brought you here. He is the one who birthed you. It is this generation that He chose to set you. I'm just telling you now, and I want to say more about it. You have no idea the depths of His heart and passion to do something in your generation unprecedented in history. So He absolutely believes in you. And so do I. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Since I turned 50, I need these things on my face to read. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Let me read a few verses and one verse out of the Psalm. Listen for a few moments. Here it is. Verse 15, 2 Samuel. It is going to be this young man, now 30 years old, David. Verse 15. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw the king dancing and leaping before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place and in the midst of the tabernacle that David pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. As soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Verse 19, I'm going to come to at the end. I want you to see this. And he gave, or he dealt among all the people, even among the entire multitude of Israel, as well as to the women, the men, the young men, the young women, every one of them a piece of bread, it says cake of bread, a goodly piece of flesh, it would be lamb that they would get, and a flagon or a little container of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. One more little verse, Psalm chapter 24. This is going to be our theme this evening. And before I pray, I want to read it, and I want to just declare it over you. Psalm chapter 24, verse 6. This is the psalm that David will declare over his generation at 30 years old. He is now the king. He will say over his generation something that no generation ever had, no generation ever knew. This, the generation that seeks him, yea, that seeks thy face, O God of Jacob. I'm declaring that over you this evening. This is, I believe, without question, a generation that God has raised up, not just interested in what he can do, not just interested in who he is to bless us and be a part of our life, but a generation rising up and that the Lord is establishing that is longing to behold his face, longing to see a demonstration of his might and of his power, of his beauty and of his splendor. He has marked off your generation to alter the present world that we're in. That's how he sees you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the tremendous honor it is for me to be here tonight. Lord, we could be anywhere, including me, but there's no other place I'd rather be. Tonight, do something in the hearts of my young brothers and sisters, my people, this leadership and these young men and young women like Pastor Travis and Brittany that have set their lives to touch and lead a generation. Let us dream tonight of the possibilities of our God with no limitation. And Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. It's 49 years before this event. I want to take us back. It is the time period of the end of the judges. There is no king yet. The first king is going to be King Saul. There is war with the Philistines. The Philistines were much like the Spartans. They were born for war. A matter of fact, 21 years from the date I'm talking about, a huge man's going to show up by the name of Goliath. He is like all of them. He is built for war, made for war. He is, they're going to be their champion. But it's 21 years from this moment. Well, they gathered the Philistines and the children of Israel, the great army of Israel. They gathered at a little place called Ebenezer. And the battle was set in array, and they came together. You see, Israel, any time they made war, they always won it. But this war, 4,000 of their warriors died. That was a strange thing for them. They didn't understand it. You see, what was going on was the people of God, like they have through history, have been disinterested in him. I don't know how it happens. How can a people who has such a great God in their life, how they can turn from him? They were disinterested in him. Their hearts were cold toward him. And this was about to show it. The army of Israel gathered back again. The Philistines went back to their army, man. They were stoked. They hadn't beat the children of Israel like this ever before. 4,000 of their soldiers died on the battlefield. The Israelites came back and they looked at each other and they said, "What has happened?" And so one of the elders said, "I know what we need to do. Let's go get the ark." All of them looked at each other and said, "That's it." You see, the Ark of the Covenant, you've seen it. They've made movies about it. What the ark meant for the children of Israel was it meant God was present with them. It was the glory of God right in the earth. It was the throne of God. It was the most powerful thing. All the nations of the world feared the ark. And so they went and got it. It was in Shiloh. There was a high priest there. His name was Eli. He really depicted the people of God. The Bible describes him in 1 Samuel 4 as very overweight. His eyes were dimming because he couldn't see. He really was a description of what had happened to the people of God. Lazy, sluggish, no vision, no hope, no dream, no desire. The older church is coming close to this in the day that you're living in. So his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, carried the ark. The priest always carried the ark. And as they carried the ark from Shiloh and they saw the ark coming in, man, the children of Israel, the army of Israel shouted. They knew if the ark came, nobody could beat them. If the ark was here, nobody could touch them. Listen, I didn't read it to you just for time, but the Philistines, they were enjoying their victory and they heard the shout from the armies of Israel, and they looked at each other. I mean, these are warriors. The Philistines feared no man. And they heard that shouting, and they looked at each other and said, what's going on? And they themselves, listen, the enemies of the people of God, the Philistines said, the ark must be there. And they began to shake. They knew, the enemies of Israel knew that if God is in their midst, something's bad, something's going to happen. And so then they talked to each other, and they convinced each other, said, listen, because that's the kind of warriors they were, we're fighting until our death. So they brought the battle again, and Hophni and Phinehas carried the ark in, the children of Israel, that army shouting with a new fire. Well, they engaged the battle. Something is about to happen that never happened before in the history of Israel. It never happened before and never happened again. They came together, and the Philistines almost annihilated the army. 30,000 men will die in this battle. And the Philistines will kill Hophni and Phinehas, the two priests, and they will carry the ark back to Gath. Can you imagine? Think about this. They took God. They took the glory of God. They took the throne of God. The children of Israel ran away. They couldn't understand this. They thought if they brought the ark, if they brought God, it was certain victory. 20 years would go by. I cannot believe, and I want you to hear some things tonight. 20 years the ark will be with the Philistines. How do you live without God? How do you live without the glory of God? How do you live without the throne of God? How can the people of God be satisfied without him? 20 years, 1 Samuel chapter 7 says that the children of Israel lamented. The word's a Bible word. It means they were sad and sorry and felt bad that the ark was gone. God was gone. The prophet Samuel will live his whole life from a young boy, his entire life without the ark. King Saul, he will be king for 20 years. And he will live without it. I don't know how it is. Not one person will go get it. Not one person wanted him more than anything. Not one of all the nation. Not one person, not a king, not a prophet. No one will go get him. It'll be 49 years to the date. 15 years earlier, a young man will show up. Punk man. He's 14, 15. He's probably this tall. No one knew him, but he will face a fat-headed Goliath in a valley called Elah. And young David will kill that giant there. People looked at him and thought, who's he? I don't know who he is. Well, now David is 30 years old. And the southern tribe, Saul, is killed by the Philistines, and they will hang him on a wall in just outside of Bethlehem. He's hanging with his son on a wall, and now the children of Israel, the southern tribe, David is 30 years old, and they make him king. I want you to know something about David at 30. At 30 years old, he was the most feared man in the entire world, because he had been winning victories since the days at 15 years old that he beat Goliath. All the enemies feared David. He was the wealthiest man in the entire world because they were conquering these nations around them, and David was taking their wealth. He not only was the greatest man in the world, the most feared man, the most wealthy man, but he was now king. David had everything any man would want: power, fame, fortune, things that American males live for. He has it all. But this young man, when they make him king, he will stand up before all Israel and he will say, I've got to have the ark. It was in David's heart. I don't care about the fame. I don't care about the wealth. I don't care about anything. I've got to have him. And after 49 years, not one person will go after the ark until this young man, David, comes. He goes down to Kiriath-Jearim. All Israel are with him. And he will go, and the ark will be set upon the priest. It is 10 miles from Kiriath-Jearim, the city where the ark was, to Jerusalem. David will take 6 steps, and they'll stop, and they'll sacrifice, and they'll shout unto their God. Can you imagine the entire nation? They had been living without him. They had been living without his glory, his throne. They'd been living without without God. They were living without everything about him, and they were satisfied, but not this young man. You see, I'm saying to you tonight that God is working something in your heart that you're not going to be satisfied with just anything else, anything less than him fully here, his power, his glory, his throne. He's building it in your lives. The whole time that they were coming down to Jerusalem, David was shouting over that generation, this, the generation that seeks you, that seeks your face, and I'm declaring it over you now, and I will all night long. This, the generation that seeks you, yea, that seeks your face, it is you. David will bring the ark to Jerusalem. It's the only time that is visibly seen by everybody. David's tabernacle was unusual. It wasn't covered. It was open. So everybody, for the first time in the history of the ark, and it will never be again, it's always closed. It's always covered. It was there. Everybody could see it. But something happens when God is present. Something happens when the glory of God is there. Something happens when the throne of God is with his people. Something happens when the glory of God is with his people. I watched it. I said to you, watch this in verse 19. Let me just show it to you. 3 things every person received. I want you to know tonight that the church in our world is not like this yet. That many people come to church and leave with nothing. Many people come to him and leave with nothing. But in this day, every woman, every man, every young woman, every young man, every teenage young girl, every teenage young man left with these 3 things. Because when God is present, everyone tastes of a level of him. Here it is. The first thing was a piece of bread. Oh, you brought it to me. Just leave the other verse up there. I appreciate it, though. It was a piece of bread. Everyone got one. Let me just talk about this bread. They got a little piece of bread. They were happy. But you see, the children of Israel remembered the bread. The bread was always symbolic for them. They remembered in the wilderness when the people of God came out of Egypt. What the Lord did was for 40 years, he sent manna. It literally means, what is this? It was a little piece of bread, almost flat like this, and it tasted like honey. And every day they went out and gathered it, except one day a week. And so he fed them from heaven. But you see, Jesus Christ, when he came, he looked at all the children of Israel in his day, and he said, you know your fathers ate manna from heaven? And they all looked, and he says, I'm the bread that comes from heaven. It was a description of him. I want you to know him here. He desires by a revelation for you to know that he was the one who lived in eternity. Pastor Travis said it well. There was a day in eternity when it was the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Those 3 spoke. Everything that you see was spoken into existence by him, even the invisible world. It's all held together by him. But he would leave that place, and he would be the bread that would be given to the world, and they would beat the bread. They would despise the bread. They would reject the bread. But he came because his absolute love for the world. He loved you and I before we were even here. See, I want you. Those people went home, and they ate that bread that night. You've got to know the heart of our God is He wants to come in such dwelling that every time we come together like this on a Wednesday, whenever you come together with your friends or you spend time with Him, you come away with a fresh taste of who He is, a fresh taste of His love for you and I, a fresh taste of His love for the world, and that you begin to taste the honey of God. You've got to know this about honey. It's in the Scriptures. It is the sweetness. You have to know how absolutely sweet He is. He is more precious to my appetite than I'm more hungry for Him now than I ever was for anything, way more than my physical food, way more than this world offers, because once you taste of Him, you've got to have Him. No generation tasted of that bread like it did with David. The second thing that he gave to everyone, because the king was there, the ark was there, every one of them got a little piece of meat. The Bible meets always lamb. Same thing back here in the Exodus when they came out of Egypt. The final night of that demonstration of power, the Lord told Moses, you tell every one of the families to go get a lamb. And it's just like this. And when they bring the lamb in their house, it is to be their lamb. Everybody in that house had to eat of the lamb. Everyone. The children, the grandparents, the fathers, the mothers, they had to eat accordingly. But everybody, they didn't realize what it was. They had no idea. They just thought it was a Passover lamb. Well, it was. But it was depicting the day the Lamb of God would come to the earth. It was that day when he was 30 years old. And John the Baptist pointed at him. He says, behold, the Lamb of God. There he was, fully 30 years old. Some people live appreciating him. Some people don't even believe he came. Some people say, well, he was just another God. He was just another prophet. But I want you to know that he came as the Lamb of God. He was stronger than most men think. Men look at him and think he was weak. I want to tell you, any moment in his life, he could have had 12 legions of angels come any moment in his life. I want to tell you about angels. One angel in one night killed 144,000 men. A legion is 300 angels. He could have had them come. They could have annihilated everybody. But he came to give his life fully. They beat him almost to death. They bleeded him. They pulled out his beard. That night, 300 soldiers mocked him. They spit in his face. They punched his face. They pulled his hair. He came out in front of the people, face swollen, missing. They stretched him on the cross. See, when they hang on the cross, it literally stretches you. It doesn't break you, but it stretches your joints. The psalmist will say that he was pulled apart. He was so beaten. He didn't look like a man. Who would do such a thing for the people who rejected him? Only the Lamb of God. And see, he wants you and I, not just me, not just Pastor Travis. He's come so that you and I could taste of his life. Some people say, well, Jay, that hardly know me. So what's the deal with you, man? Love the passion. What's going on? And they say, well, you're a preacher. I said, that doesn't mean a thing, honestly. Are you kidding me? I met some preachers that were some of those miserable men. Then what's the deal? This is the deal. I've got the taste of that bread. I'm so thankful that he would be willing to come and live his life for me. I want a taste of it. It's life to me, to you, and I want to know the Lamb. I'm thankful he died. I'm thankful that he's redeemed me. I'm thankful that they beat him, that you and I can have healing and wholeness. I'm thankful that out of his life became such a miraculous power for you and I to lay hands upon the sick, raise the dead. It all came from him. But I want a taste of his life. How does someone love me and you like this? I want to know. So everybody left with a goodly, is the word, a piece of lamb that they went home and ate, tasted. He wants you to know his absolute passion for your life, his love for your life, but his love for your enemy, his love for your family, his love for your neighborhood, his love for this world. Once you taste of what he did, I could spend the whole night if I ever had you for a weekend, and I'll just walk you through the last hours of his life. You do not know what they did to him, and he was silent the whole time. He was innocent. Yet he allowed it because of us. The last thing that David handed to them was a little flagon of wine. Yeah, the teenagers got wine. It was just a little container of wine. What it was to eat the bread and eat the lamb. You had to have a little wine. Here's what wine is. in a spiritual sense. Spirit, it's joy, it's laughter. See, I love this gathering tonight. I have some people that are my age saying, Jay, you still hang out with teenagers? I go, are you kidding me? I love them. Why? It's all new. They're real. They're not faking it. What you see is what it is. I love their passion. I love their joy. Come on, I was sitting over here, and the noise from out there was in this room. I could hear you out there yakking away, teasing each other. Man, it was filled with such, I just wanted to go out there and just chill with you guys. Hang with you, man. It was passion. We were having fun. I mean, we didn't do everything right. I'm sure somebody pushed somebody and somebody said something to somebody. It's how it is. But here's what I want you to know. What does the wine do? It just creates the joy, the laughter. It creates the passion, the Spirit of God. I love what he's doing. What you want to be baptized. I'm sure next year he's going to talk about being baptized in the Holy Ghost, immersed in the Spirit of God. That's the only way that I can speak to you. It's the only way I'm going to prophesy to you is the Spirit of God. He is the absolute power of God and the might of God, but he is the joy and the laughter. I've got to tell you, man, I enjoy every day of my life. Sometimes I try to be a little sad. Some people say to me, you're too happy. So I watch the news to try to get bummed out. I do. I put it on. I even watch some of the really bad. I put the BBC on. I mean, it can't be any worse than that. I mean, the whole world's going. I mean, it's forget it. Everything's bad. I watch a whole hour of it. And I try to go, oh, this is really bad. And I just think about the bread of life and the Lamb of God and the Spirit of God. And I can't help but to do this. Because he has made victory ours. And if there's a conquering people on the earth, it's you. If there's a people that are going to shape the world, it's you. If there's a people that's going to turn the world upside down, yo, it is your generation. I want to say it one more time. This. The generation, mine, my father's, not likely. My grandson's, I don't know, we'll find out. But I know this, the generation that will seek you, not just you, but they will seek your face. They will want to see and know you. It's you. Bow your heads for a moment. Father, I thank you for the pleasure, Lord, of being able to be with these young people. Father, thank you for the potential in this room of changing our entire society, of turning this world upside down. Father, I believe it, but it's them who have to make the decision. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Just say one more thing, and then I just want to do some other things. I wasn't going to tell you, but I'm going to. When David got to Jerusalem, he made two offerings. Now, for Hebrew, they have real meaning. Let me just tell you. One was the burnt offering. Let me just say this to you. I just want you to think about it. The burnt offering said this, everything I am is yours. That's what David did. All Israel, they said, all that we are is yours. I want you to make that decision. I want you to set the burnt offering in your life that everything you are is his. I will tell you this, he won't disappoint you. In fact, he'll dream bigger dreams than you could ever think about dreaming. The other one was the peace offering. What the peace offering said to a Hebrew was this, I want to have fellowship. I want to know you. I want to be intimate with you. He paid a great price that you would know him. He paid it with the life and death of his son. He wants to know you, and he wants you to know him. Make the choice. You can do that. Amen. my young sister, we're taping, right? So I don't know these names. Do you? Are you going to write them down? Do you want to come up here and just look? So it might be easier for them. You want to turn the light up? Not too much, because that'll make them more nervous. A little bit more. Make me nervous. That one, good. You want to come up here? Or you're good, okay. My sister here, it's amazing the potential the Lord has laid within you. You know, sometimes there'll always be two or three, four or five young people that are just standouts amongst the group. You know, they'll raise their hands, they'll worship. Sometimes it's real, sometimes it's not. Sometimes they're just trying. It's just different things. But you have to know the Lord has really graced you unusually, that your heart would beat for him. Even with this scripture and that Bible in your hand, that is going to be a necessary part of your life. Every man should have a Bible, whether you're the president, a doctor, a lawyer, or a garbage man, a bread delivery. The Bible is supposed to be something that every man had, especially men in high authority, high ranks, so that they could watch their God and know them. But you, the Lord, will call us to understand this word and to be a young woman who teaches it, shares it. It doesn't mean you have to do Bible college. It doesn't mean you have to do those kind of things. But the word of God is going to be very important to you all of your life. It's not just at this point of your life. You're going to have to know it. It's going to be something that the Lord will begin to write on your heart. He will start to make you hungry for it. He will start to open up your eyes so that you see it and understand it. Even your ears, when you heard things in your earlier years, when you were 12, 13, and 14, when you're hearing it as just coming into the youth group in a way, he's going to open up your ears a greater way so that you can hear and understand what he is saying. Because you'll be one as the years go by. By the time you're 27, 28, 29, 30, you're going to be reinvesting your life into teenagers. At that end of your 20s, you're going to be reinvesting your life into teenagers, sharing with them the ability of God and the strength of God and the might of God. And I love this about you, though, because you're pretty gentle, but there's a real strength within you. The truth is, girl, nobody pushes you around. And that's how the Lord has made you. Be submissive to authority. Be submissive to parents. Do what you're supposed to do. But don't let anybody convince you anything else but the greatness of God. My young friend at the end over there, great job on the song, dude. Really good. Loved it, man. Loved the shirt, too. The yellowed, sweet. It is. So you're just in a real time change in your life. You really are. It was less than 2 years ago you were doing other things. You're a part of another life. You were just away. You were just doing your thing. And the last 2 years, the Lord has really drawn you to him. It's real, my friend. Part of it was because it was trouble. Part of it was because you really needed to make a change. But the Lord knew, and he really intervened, and he brought you this way. And you have to know, my friend, even though you're kind of a late bloomer, and I don't mean that to be funny or anything, you just are, but so am I, though. So I'm like, now at my age, though, I feel more like I'm like 25, 30, you know, I'm just rolling, baby, let's roll. I don't know about grandfather old, I don't understand that stuff, I just don't, man. I'm just, let's go, let's roll, that's all there is, man. So I don't know about this, you know, that only here in America on TV they try to convince me that I'm old, I should be thinking about my retirement, my back should be hurting, and I'm just surprised I can walk. But in this kingdom, it ain't so. And so you have to know the Lord's really drawn near to you, unusual in this entire group, because he's coming, though, to catch up the years that you lost, especially in education, school, where you kind of played. And so this is the beginning of the Lord moving in your direction to strengthen you, that you're able to learn, you're able to be a good student, you're able to believe that there is hope for your future, and you're able to do more than you think. It doesn't matter, you know, in our world, it doesn't matter who your father is and who your mother is. You know, I'm around people in New York. I'm in New York a lot. And so I know there's that man's father is a governor, that young man. I meet these people. And so because they have parents who are really something, they have a good future. My dad had his eighth grade education. That was it, my father. So really, we kind of looked and thought, where are we going to go? I didn't know. But what happened was I got a new father. I love my dad. But I want you to know, your father, all of you, your heavenly father, dude, nothing is impossible with him. And so you stay disciplined and you allow the Lord to do what he's to do and you stay committed to the task, no game playing. You do what you're supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to talk about it, do I? You know, no game plan. You do what you have to do. You stay disciplined. You work hard in the present education. And I'm telling you, my young friend, when you turn 30 and you finish college, believe it or not, you will not believe what the Lord has done with your life. So don't look back. Don't think, well, I came from here, did this, what am I going to do? The beautiful thing about our God is He makes all things new. Incredible. You don't know my future, so I'm standing up here. So it's Dr. J in some places. The truth is I'm just J. But the reality is, though, if you knew my past, there would be no way that I could be here, standing here. It can't be. I was too stupid, too many mistakes, too rebellious, too hard-hearted, too dumb. Well, I was hard-hearted and rebellious. But when the King of Kings got me, yo, baby, everything was off. We were running the race. And so you're in it. Trust Him. He'll fully repair the disappointments you've had with family and fathers and things. He will. He'll fully heal it all. And you will not be like your family has been. You will not. Give it up for that young guy. I like him. You okay if I encourage you a little bit? All right. You're unbelievable. Yeah, if I was sitting here and I was a teenager, I'd be afraid of you. I would, because you have so much to you. You know what I mean? Like when I was growing up, I had long hair, like this. I still have hair, but I'm not doing that half hair, half skin thing, comb over. I'm not doing that. I got the Vin Diesel look. That's all. I saw that. I thought, I'm in. Yeah. But I just could play sports. That's it. You. Incredible with academics, incredible with music and sound and vocals, huge heart, unbelievable ability to communicate with people. You've always been above your age. If I talk to your parents, they say, yeah, when she was 3, she was 8. When she was 8, she was 15. You know, we try to tell her to relax a little bit. It's just because you grew up so fast. You matured so much quicker than others, but it wasn't just the maturity, I want. You really are sensitive to the world around you, very unusual. You were always like that. Even now, toward mom and toward parents and grandparents and people, you're very aware. I just went through life pushing people around, I didn't care. I just didn't know, I was blinded. I only walked like this. But you, on the other hand, are so keen around what's going on. You have several things the Lord has already gifted you with. You have an incredible nursing ability, a heart that's sensitive to the hurt, the broken. So you, if you choose to go the MD route, the Lord will carry it all the way. But you also are very good at debating. You're a strong debater. You can really argue a point. And when you learn something, you learn it. You're a tremendous learner, very fast, where some people put a lot into it. You just get it really quick. So you can be a lawyer if you choose, because you're incredible. And you like standing for the injustice of people. That's the nursing aspect, because you love people, and what goes on with your life is very, very important to you. But the other side of your life is, if you want to enter the business world, you got to discuss these things with your people, Pastor Travis, as you grow up and you choose. But these three places will be open to you because of the intelligence that you have, because of the maturity that's already there. You can be in the business world and make a ton of money in the business world. You're always going to have money. That's just how the Lord's going to work it, because you're to be a young woman with influence. That's the thing. You see, He desires to make everyone in this room influential. Me too. I've been in the White House as well. But I didn't get there to necessarily talk to our president, who I pray for and who I love, but other people and other places I've been in there, I love that. He has no problem making you or anyone in here great. He loves greatness. But as long as it's greatness unto Him and for Him, and that we know why we're great. And so, girl, that's the destiny with you. It's for a woman who has such, a woman who the Lord is able to put in place of influence. I mean, there's areas of government, areas of people of responsibility. That's the destiny for you. You just have to do one thing. Remember who it was that brought you to this world. Remember the one who brought you here. Remember the one who died for you. And don't forget, He is the one who is making all this happen. It has just begun. I want to say one last thing to you. You'll have to be a lot more disciplined than a lot of people. So your friends will go on Saturday night and do their thing. You won't be able to go. Study, work, discipline, preparation, church, family life.
But the Lord, when it appears like you're losing out on fun and relationships and love, don't even go there, because the Lord's prepared a home and life for you beyond what you could ever dream about. He will do it. All you've got to do is trust Him. I got to try to get off this row, but this row is just stacked with people. Yeah. My young brother here, dude, you have to know, how am I doing with time here? I see 4 minutes. I should run with that clock? Okay. I want to try to move along, move to the back a little bit more. My young brother here, multi-talented dude, music, sound, incredible. You do, dude. You got like, I'm too white to do it, but you're like liquid body, you know what I mean? Like your whole body, just I can't do it. I feel the music, but I get kind of Tin Man-ish. You know, everything's like, yeah. But you, though, it isn't because of the color of your skin, but it's your people on both sides of your family have been very musical. Your family, deep into your family, grandmothers and grandfathers have been having people who've served the Lord and prayed. And you don't know this, though, but the Lord's come to intervene in your generation to draw you to a whole nother dimension and place in God. It is, though. The Word of God's sensitive to you. That's why you're sitting in the second row. It doesn't mean the guy in the 10th row isn't. But you have, there's many of this in this row, you especially, though, there's this heart for Him. There's this place in you already that you know you should do right. There's this conviction that you have about what's right and what's wrong. You really do have it. And you do talk to your friends, but you're not super vocal that you're standing out in the midst of your school and just shouting out. It's not there yet. But you've got to know the Lord has come in your generation because of the prayers of your family to raise up a young man that'll shape the destiny of our future. So your education is very, very critical. Super smart. Super ability, it's the application of it, though, because a lot of things come easy for you. So be expert at everything you do. When you're at a task, give it your all the time. And dude, the Lord will just move you into positions. You won't even think about going in this direction, that direction. You won't even think about that profession. You won't even think about doing this. And the Lord will just open up the door, and they'll come looking for you. Your life, as I see the future of it, is so open and blessed. It is so filled with so much. It's so simple for you. It's actually simple for all of us as it is for me. You know what all you have to do? You just believe Him. He's not asking any more than that. Because as I believe Him, as I long for Him, as I desire Him, as I see Him, I don't have to worry about my future. He'll set it up and He'll arrange it. He'll do more for you than you could write out, plan, strategize, even though those things are good. But you trust Him, my young friend. I'm telling you, the prayers of your family are moving. I can hear them, generations, 4 and 5 generations back on both sides of your family. I can hear the cry of the Lord, do something with my people. And dude, He has. It's with you. Okay, I only got 1:07. So let me just kind of come back here a little bit and see what's up. Yeah, good. My sister right here, yeah, pretty amazing young lady. You, yeah, with the long hair in the middle there between the two really pretty girls, as well as you are. So you're at an interesting time in your life. You're coming to that age of choice, of choosing what are you going to do, what the future is going to be. And I love this about you, too, because you, too, there's a lot of things you can do. But you just kind of have been kind of mulling through life. It's okay. You're just kind of going through life. Things have not been the way you thought at home or in thing of school, and they just haven't. So you're amongst friends. There's a lot of things I'm not going to say, but it just hasn't been like you thought. And this is the beautiful thing about you. You are very precious. You have a tremendous heart. The people who know you know that you're amazing. But a lot of people who are around you don't realize it. And you have to know that sometimes people treat us ways and don't see it because they just don't see it. But you've got to know that the Lord sees your heart is amazing. It is huge, beautiful, and you are extra precious before Him. And I want to say this to you, and you please hear this. Again, there's a lot I'm not going to say because these are your friends. But you believe Him tonight. And you'll see the Lord change everything in your home, everything around your life. Just look at me. I just want you to remember to see my eyes, okay? I'm not going to forget yours, trust me. But I want you to know, though, he is capable of anything. And sometimes I wonder, why don't you do it now? Why don't you do it? You know the story of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? You know the story? You know, I thought when they were on the way to being thrown into fire, that would be a good time for the Lord to show up. It's amazing. You know what I learned about him, though? It's not, will he show up? Oh, he will. But it's always at the right time. Your time is now. You trust him, believe him. You ask him. As you do often, you just close the door of your room. And when you're in there, though, don't think about what's going on outside of your room. Just set your heart on him. Remember some of the things I've said. Remember this word. It's being taped. You trust him, girl. He'll alter everything around your life. Don't run. Don't choose anything that's wrong. You know what's right. You just stand, wait for him. Don't believe in anybody but him. Don't trust in anybody but him. Don't listen to other voices. Don't pull away by young men and young women. Don't be. Don't be. All right? You're awesome, and you are amazingly beautiful. You're a tremendous young woman. You have an absolute huge heart. The future is huge for you. Don't look at this moment as, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? Don't do that. This is a night that you can absolutely hope in God when it feels like there just might not be any. You can hope in him. I'm telling you, he has tremendous hope in you. Stand with me, please. Thank you for allowing me to have this hour and 10 minutes with you. I want to say one last time this. This, you, the generation. I absolutely believe it. Generation of them that seek him. Yeah, Jay, we want him, but this is what we want. We want to behold his face. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for my young brothers and sisters. Amazing. Tonight, Lord, let them desire to taste of the bread of life. Put a desire in them, us, all of us, especially in them. I want a taste of the Lamb of God. I want to know you. And Lord, let them taste of the depth of your spirit, the wine, to bring joy, hope, laughter, power and strength, courage and boldness. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.